None of these things move me. I don't count my own life dear. I'm going to fulfill all His will. Come on, now that's militant, but it's all Bible. Now, thanks be to God, verse 14, who always, chapter 2, 2 Corinthians, who always leads us in triumph in Christ. Watch, it's not a period, it's a comma. And through us, here's the victory. He's leading us in a perspective, an understanding, in a mindset, an attitude, and a disposition in the face of it all. And through us, in so doing, diffusing the fragrance of His knowledge everywhere. What's His goal? Leading you in triumph or diffusing the reality of who He is through your life? Come on, what's His goal? What's His goal? That you never get laid off or that you look just like Him if you do? What's His goal? That you never get in a car accident? Or that if you do, you look just like Him to everybody? To your family and to people? It always fascinated me how church folks can get laid off and they have a budget and they got all their stuff in this thing and all of a sudden they relate to, I don't have a job, income's not coming in, and they fall apart, lose their disposition and call right away, prayer change to pray, I just lost my job, oh my God, and they become a laid off man, a cut off man, a man with no resource. And now they pray to God from the perspective of a laid off man crying out for help. It's just always fascinated me why we change with the moment. So you get laid off. What's changed about God's love, His faithfulness? Why is it the end of the world? Why is your job your source? Why don't we just go, man, God, I didn't see this coming. But now that it did, I'm so glad I'm in covenant with You. I'd be lost without You. I'm so thankful You're for us. You know my family. You understand our lives. As quick as this door closed, one's going to open. I'm just going to knock a little. Somebody will see value and interest in my life and my skills. God, thank You for turning the heart of men towards us and showing them that there's something to invest in. That God, thank You. This will all work to Your good and Your glory. And you never lose a wink of sleep. You never lose an ounce of joy. You never lose your disposition. You don't become a laid off man. You're a son. Come on! But we think we have to feel, oh Dan, you're preaching denial, you get in there, you got them emotions. Who says those emotions are God? Look what they produce and you'll know they're not. You've been trained by them. Old things pass away. Behold, all things become new. Put off the old man. Put on the new man. I got a thing in the mail right after I turned 40. It was so funny. I opened it up and read it. It was one of them things that just comes from somewhere. It said, you are now 40. I'm like, somebody knows. And it said, you are more subject to this and this and this and this and this than any time in your life. And I went, oh! I was like, ah! I just crumbled it. And I said, Lord, what would I do without You? I'd be on that list. I'd be in fear. I'd be threatened. I'd be vulnerable. Thank You for covenant. Thank You for loving me. And it threw me into this intimate, in the kitchen, place of worship where that wonderful Holy Spirit came. Just awesome. That sure beats, oh my God. What am I going to do? Not getting any younger.
I'm really messing with you.
He always leads us in triumph. I rode a truck down the hill one time at church. It was a terrible thing. I was hurrying to lead prayer and I whipped around and it was a little manual truck. It's a pretty little Nissan truck. It was pretty. Cars aren't idols to me. I've never like, but I can see like certain cars. I'm like, wow, that's nice looking. But I've never honestly in my life coveted a car, needed a car. Oh, I gotta have that. But I just ended up with this nice, pretty little truck and I liked it. And it was cherry red, had a pretty little matching topper. And I whipped into church, great on gas. It was a good little running car, right? It's 2 years old. I just bought it for $9,200.
couple years old, kind of low miles, years ago, of course. And that's how I always would do it. I'd buy one a couple years old with a bunch of miles, run it till it dies, and try to raise it from the dead. So most of my cars, I were 11 to 13 years old. And this one was going to do the same for me, I figured. So I whip into church, I jump out, and I left the truck running. I went to push it in, to pop the brake. I went to pull the brake, the little brake handle. I never pulled it up and hit it on the... Because you know, when you have a clutch, you got to let it in neutral or it'll stall when you let out the clutch. So I just hit the brake, the emergency brake, because I left it running. Because I didn't want to just shut off because I'm going to run right in and flip on a couple of things because I was running late for intercessory prayer and I wanted to make sure everything. And it's just one of the things, pastors get in this stuff. And I go in and I pulled up my brake and didn't realize when I pulled it up and got out, it didn't click. And it's sitting right at the top of a big long hill at our parking lot. Big long hill. And I run in and I flipped on the sound and I put on the sweet piano and I got the lights on. It was like, woo, it feels like prayer time right now. This is good. I run back out the door and I went, oh my goodness, my truck. And the first thought was that a teenager or somebody, drugs or something, jumped in it and took off because it was running and nobody was around. I thought, oh my goodness, somebody swiped the truck. Oh God, have mercy. And you know, I wasn't like, oh my God, my truck, somebody stole my truck. Stop. I was thinking this was trouble. Somebody took advantage of the opportunity and I was like, I can't believe this. Lord God, have mercy. I'm not even sure what to do right now. I'm going to have to call. And I went, and at the bottom of the hill, there's this huge quartz rock that they dug out of the property when they built the church. Huge. It's sitting there in the cornerstone of the property, right? My little cherry truck was founded firmly on the rock. I looked down and I went, oh my goodness. And there was like a, oh my goodness sense. Like, I can't believe I just did that. My truck just rolled out. I just smashed that thing up. And there was a sense of relief that it didn't roll out into the road. There's a nursery, a daycare on the other side of the street. And here's what happened to me. These tears filled my eyes. And I said, God, you're so good. Thank you for taking what could have been a tragedy and keeping it simply a truck. God, you're awesome. And I said, devil, if you had anything to do with this, you'll never steal from a child of God. God, I worship you. I ran down and looked at it. I went, oh. Like seriously demolished. Seriously. When I got another vehicle, I plopped it in neutral right on the edge of that hill and left it roll as long as I could before I had to hit the brakes to stop. And I was already over 35. Because it's a hill. That thing. It would have been amazing to see. It would have been a video. And here's exactly what I did. You know, I'm a different kind of fella, maybe. I patted it on the little hood, crinkled up hood. I said, little buddy, I know you heard me preach being founded on the rock a whole lot, man. But this is not what I was talking about. And I kind of laughed and I headed up because it's just a truck. You deal with it. You just gotta, right? Insurance adjuster comes, looks at my truck. Comes to me and says, I want you to know, I know there's a lot of jokes about adjusters and a lot of grievous things about insurance companies, but I'm telling you, there's a such thing as an upright adjuster. And he said, when I do a car, whatever I come up with, I don't care what the book value says, what I assess the car at is what I give. And I've done your car 3 times. And I came up with the same figure every time. Because when you have an accident like that and you caused it and it's your insurance, you're figuring you bought that car for 92, 9 months ago. That's going to depreciate. You ran it for 9 months and now you're going to get much less than what you paid for it. Now you have to take that little sum and try to come up with another vehicle. That's what happens to people. That's why they get so worked. So it's like living with God in your confession on your own. Did you catch that? I stuck that in there. The adjuster says, I said, well, what'd you come up with? He said, $10,300. I said, are you serious? You adjusted my car, appraised my car at $10,300? I said, sir, I bought it for $92 9 months ago. And I'm just talking openly. He said, I understand, but that's what I came up with three times. That's what you'll receive. I'm telling you, it has to do with attitude and heart and things. God can work with that without enabling something that's not good. When you say, thank you, God, for being so good, a lot of Christians have the mentality, what do you mean good? If he was good, he wouldn't have let the truck roll down the hill. Why didn't he stop it? He's God. He can do anything. Why didn't he just keep it from running down the hill? Why didn't he stick your brake on for you? You'd be amazed how many Christians think that way. How they have God reduced to their genie in a bottle who can fail as much as he can fulfill. So I bought the truck, drove it for 9 months, rolled it down a hill, and made $1,100. I'm convinced God could bless that. So that little soda story I tell when God dropped a root beer in the soda machine when there was none on the panel. I wanted a soda. I was in a hotel. I was thirsty. I preached for 5 nights. I was ministering for so long. And I walked through and I heard zzzz. As a soda machine, I said, oh. I just felt thirsty, man. And I don't drink tons of soda, but I like soda when I drink it because I don't drink tons of it. So it's more of a treat to me. And I like root beer. And I told this story years ago, and I drank more root beer in a year than I ever drank in my life. I'd go to stay at people's homes, and they'd say, surprise. And every week, I was shoved root beer after root beer. And I'm like, stop the root beer. No, actually, I would just drink it. Praise you, Jesus. Because they were so sincere. But I slugged, it was California, it was a little 12-ounce can. $2, right? So you slug $2. That's already something that would get most of us complaining. $2 for a little 12-ounce can. I slugged it, and I went, oops, I never looked at the panel. There's 2 7-Ups or Sprites, there's 2 Pepsis, 2 Diet Pepsis or Cokes, and no root beer. And I remember smiling and kind of laughing like, isn't that funny? I don't even know if change will come out if I hit the change thing. I can get 8 quarters. I don't know. I thought, oh, well, 7-Up or Sprite's a good second best. And I hit it and a barge's root beer fell in the trash. So you pick it up and you don't even realize what's going on because it's just too ridiculous. And you go like this and you go. And you know that's not changing the world, but man, it's personal. And then you're like, your feet don't touch the floor. And you're like going in your room. And you're struggling because you're first traveling in ministry and everybody thinks to honor you is to give you the best and the biggest. And I'm the wrong kind of guy to think that way towards. I sleep on an air mattress. I don't need a king bed. I lose Jesus in the thing. I'm like, Jesus! Jesus! It's like ridiculous. Why do I need a king bed? Jesus! But I got over it that night, baby. Heaven dropped a root beer in the slot, man. King, king. I'm like floating in my room. I'm going to lay in my king bed with the king. I'm over it now. I'm like, whoa. I'm right in the center of the bed. Got the pillow tucked up behind me and I'm weeping and it was fun. I did it in slow-mo. I went. And I just real slow. So fun. You know what happened while I was sitting there? The Spirit of God started loving on me and ministering to me. He said, you know why I can do these things for you, Dan? Because you don't know how to complain anymore. You're thankful. You're content. You're just blessed. Godliness with contentment. It's great gain. You don't know how to complain. And I can bless you and drop those little surprises on you because I won't empower something that I paid for to die. As soon as you say, what? No root beer. You got to be kidding. Now, why? It's bad enough it's $2. Why do they got to have 2 Pepsi, 2 Sprite, 2? Why don't they get variety? This is supposed to be a good hotel. Ridiculous. Why do you got to have 2 of everything? Why do you got 3 waters? Just thankful. The Lord God said, you know why I can do these little things for you? You don't know how to complain anymore. It blessed him to drop that thing in there and watch me cry and be goofy and feel all kinds of stuff. It's pretty intimate. If it didn't happen to you, you can't relate. But you're standing there holding that root beer and you know God put it in there. And there is no root beer on the selector. But there is one in my hand and it fell through the slot. And you're sitting there and you got little chills and little stingy things and little stuff going on. Your heart's acting weird. And you're like, I'm serious? You drink it slow, man. You savor it. I'm serious. But God said, you don't know how to complain anymore. He wants, through us, to diffuse the fragrance of His knowledge everywhere. That's not evangelism and telling people they need to get saved. That's walking in love and manifesting His heart in every situation. I ended up getting a pretty little truck. Some folks bought it for me. 3 months in, a lady ran a stop sign and crushed it. You say, brother, you need some grace on your life. There's grace all over my life. I almost T-boned her. I only had the truck 3 months. It's the first truck I ever kept clean in my life. It was a gift from the Lord. It sobered me. I'd started to be a better steward. Before that, I used to have things growing in my truck. Like I had like fields in along my floorboard. You have no idea. Because I fish sometimes and I get my feet wet and there's sand on your feet and then the water in your sneakers and then it waters the sand and things grow. And I had this stuff build up along my floorboard along the wall that deep. And one day I opened my truck and something grew fast. It was a big long like a piece of grass and I thought it was cool. So I just left it there. I thought, that's kind of cool. I was thinking of redeeming my space and plant a tomato or something. But the truth is I got this nice truck and I just waxed it that morning and washed it. And I'm heading to go do meetings and I come down the hill and this precious 65-year-old lady is ready to come through the intersection. But she's sitting in a stop sign. She looks this way. I'm coming this way. She looks this way. I'm coming this way. There's a whole line of cars because it's Apple Hill. It's a medical center. There's a whole lot of cars coming off the main road to the medical center. So all she sees is bumper to bumper the whole way out to the road, right? But the car in front has its turn signal on. So she goes, oh, the front car's turning. Since they're turning, I'll make sure they're slowing up. Yep, they're turning. I'll shoot across because they're turning. They're slowing everybody down. I can shoot across. She forgot there's another direction. Anybody ever make a mistake? I'm coming down 35 to 40. And everything's cool. You know, I back off the gas a little. No brakes, though. I'm just getting on the intersection. I'm paying attention. And right, I'm from me to you. I'm going 35 from me to you, and she floors it. Unless God supernaturally lets me go right through her, this is not good. There's a passenger there. You're thinking immediately, you can't slam him. You can't T-bone this guy without brakes at 35 to 40. That's not cool either. I didn't see the little girl in the back. I just saw a car and a passenger and I sat up on my wheel and I said, oh Lord Jesus. And I hooked it as hard as I could and tried to get in front of them. And it was like I was in an amusement park for about 2 seconds. Everything's white. I'm like, Jesus. Jesus. It was my airbag. Had me pinned, man. I should see you, Lord. I knew it was my airbag. It's the first car I ever owned that had an airbag because I would never buy a new car, but people bought me a new car. I had an airbag. I got to experience it. And as soon as the car went, boom, this white thing engulfed me. And I remember thinking, that's my airbag. I thought, whoa, that was my airbag because it just, poof, it had me pinned. As soon as the car, poof, it was like Dorothy's house in the Wizard of Oz, poof. And it happened so quick. Who was ever in one of them where you had no recollection in the moment? You were just tossed and thrown and landed. That's what happened. I didn't know what angle. I didn't know nothing. I didn't know where they were. I just knew I was in my truck. That was my airbag. The millisecond that thing landed, I'm out of there, busted out. I'm looking. There they are. I run. Pieces everywhere. It was crazy. Sitting in there trembling. I said, sir, I ran to his window. Sir, I really need to pray with you. I'm going to bless you and pray that you never have an effect of this thing. This was high impact. It's very important we pray in the name of Jesus. And I grabbed his hand. I said, are you okay, sir? He said, I'm just really shook up. I said, let me pray with you. This girl is wailing in the back. A young little 13-year-old girl is wailing, praying. I run over, honey, come here, sweetie. It's okay. Are you okay? She crawls up. She doesn't know me. She can tell there's something there. She came to me, left me hold her. It's okay, baby. Jesus' name. Jesus' name. God, come. Thank you, Father. I just left her. I said, I'll go over around the other side, sweetie. You're fine. Everything's going to be fine. I promise everything. I run around the car. I get to the lady. She's sitting there staring out her shattered window. She's looking at my truck. She sees a little temporary tag. She sees the side that's not hit. She knows it's a pretty new truck. The other side was really bad. She's gone. I said, honey, I really want to pray with you, okay? It's very important. I'm going to bless you, your neck, your spine, and just speak some things over you. Come here, honey. Give me your hand. Let me pray. She won't move. She's just staring. I said, sweetheart, please let me pray with you right now. She said, oh, no. It's a brand new truck. You see what's happening? Pressure. Responsibility. Come on, an accident's an accident, but this thing just got worse. It's a new truck. It's not an old truck. That stuff matters to people. Why? Because of responsibility. Watch. She said, it's a new truck. And I said what sounded rhetorical to her. I said, honey, it's okay. It's a truck. You're what matters. And that you're okay is what's important. It's a truck. You are what matters. She's like, you don't understand. She looks at me, vile. You don't understand. She said, that is a new truck. And I'm thinking, what am I missing? She said, that is a new truck. And that driver is going to be so angry with me. See, you want to be in that spot right there. They had no clue I was the driver. Because I didn't look like a normal accident. I looked like Jesus. And guess what I had the honor of doing? I tipped her little chin and I said, honey, I am the driver. And guess what she did? Oh, God bless you. And she fell on my shoulder as I rocked her and prayed. Guess what happened to the little girl in the back? She starts bawling because grandmom was freaking out. So now she's back into, wah! See, your freaking out never helps anyone. I whispered to Grandmom, I said, Grandmom, can I get in your back seat? Do you mind? She said, no, it's okay, please. The little girl heard me. She's never met me in her life. Watch. I open the door. She crawls across like a little kitten or something and comes on me and grabs me and lays on me for safety and protection. And I held her because that's right where she needs to be. Because I'm not mad at them. I'm not Mr. Christian that goes to church, kicking the grass, idolizing my truck, inconvenience, not at this time. God, why now? And then go on to try to explain to her why it's all right and it'll work out when she already knows it's not all right. The last thing she needs to do is, holy, hallelujah, on Sunday. And then, at the cost of, see, the Spirit of God isn't in me to put another brick on what's already weighing her down. The Spirit of God is in me to love not my own life unto death and take that thing off. Come on, this is real life stuff. Story gets better. This stuff's like fairy tales, man. Either I'm making this up and I'm a wicked man and I'm a good story writer, or these things really happen. Time will tell. I held that girl and prayed, and the policemen were coming. I had to get out and talk to the officer. He said, boy, you have a real good attitude about all this. I said, well, what other attitude? He said, oh, I could give you some options. That's what he said. And we talked and exchanged. I ended up getting a ride and heading to my meeting. I'm sorry, I gotta quit. And there's some people leaving. It's not my preaching, I promise. It's too good. It's just time. I got to quit. We'll end with this story. Tonight I'm going to really try to impart something about how to become this and how easy it is to become this and live this. Would that help? Yeah. Rather than just be convicted that this is what we're called to, how to get there, it's so simple. We'll talk about that a little tonight, and then we'll do some other things because I feel like we need to really pray for the sick this weekend in a vital way. This policeman, we're talking, 3 months goes by, Pastor. I'm down southern end of the county. I'm in a denominational church that has opened their door to let me come in and do a healing service. It was quite awesome. They heard lots of good things. It was a lady pastor. She didn't know me, but she respected the ladies she's running with that are coming there and praying and stuff. And they compelled her, and she said, okay. So we're doing healing service. Their elders are in the church. She's in the church. They're watching me. They're making sure. And it's right that they're there. The elders were, it came out later what was really going on there. It was funny. They thought I was there to take the church over to become the pastor. I'm thinking, there's a little church down in the county, way down the boonies, you know. It's like 35 people coming to meet in the name of the Lord. And they're thinking, I'm looking for my big ministry opportunity. You know, I got so much in front of me. I'm so respected at home. I could have opened a church in our city and it would have had several hundred on day one, is the truth. So it was just funny. It was just funny. I'm preaching, and this guy in the back just stands up, and he's just standing there, and I'm like, sir, do you have a question, a comment? What's going on? He said, yes, sir. He said, were you in an accident several months ago on such and such a road? I said, yeah, I was. He said, I didn't expect you to recognize me out of uniform. Huh. It's fairy tale stuff. It's fairy tale. Watch. I didn't think you'd recognize me out of uniform. He said, people, I want to tell you everything this man's saying is the truth. I've had a live commercial. Because when I do healing services, I preach this stuff. Yeah. In healing. Because to me, this is ultimate healing, man. Yeah. And it releases you into a healthy place of faith when your body's not doing well. Rather than just demanding of God or needing of God and being driven by the symptom. Letting the sickness overtake your identity. Living out of a promise book instead of relationship. Come on. Yeah. He said, people, I'm telling you, this man's telling the truth because I saw him where the rubber meets the road. I met this man the first time 3 months ago at a really serious collision, and his car was demolished. And I have never in 1,000+ accidents seen what I saw come out of this man. It was totally different for me. He said, but here's the thing. I have never been in a church in my life. This is my first time stepping through the door of a church. Because as a young man, I had a bad experience concerning Christianity. And I vowed I would never go to church. And here I am. He was in his 40s. I've held to that vow. He said, when I met this man on the streets, I thought maybe I've been presumptuous and judged something through one incident. Maybe today I bumped into the real. Maybe I need to check this out. He said, that was working on me for 3 months, but I didn't do anything about it. I'd just been diagnosed with a serious sickness. My friend said, hey, I saw the sign down here on the billboard of the church, because he patrols that whole area. He said, I saw the sign. It said they're having a healing service. I know you're not a church guy, but you got nothing to lose. Let's just go. If it's weird, we'll sneak out the back. We'll sit in the back. Let's just go. He said, before this encounter with this man, I'd have blew him off and laughed him silly. But when he said it, there was something in me that said, yeah. So he said, I came down not knowing what I was getting into, not knowing what I was coming to. I came through the door and behold, it was the very man standing here that impacted my life 3 months ago at the accident. And I'm standing here thinking, are you kidding me? And I'm like, wait, what do you do? That's ridiculous. But here's what it showed me. Your life is so influential and you might not realize it. People are depending, whether you know it or not, on the revelation of Christ that you carry. The potential of Christ coming through your life. There's a man that was hurt as a child. He had a wrong view. He had a wrong belief. He's in his 40s. Time is ticking fast. And he needs to encounter Jesus. And that's him in you. And all of a sudden in an accident, instead of me being a wreck and just like anybody else that had a dilemma, he saw something in me that captured his attention, humbled his heart, and got him to ask a question that he had no desire to ask for almost 40 years. And all of a sudden God, in his love, was pulling him to his throne. You want that kind of stuff. You want those testimonies. That sure beats being frustrated, confused, and why didn't you stop that accident, Lord? Why didn't you look like me in the middle of it, son? Why didn't you keep them from ripping me off? Why didn't you love them when you had the chance? Look, I'm not asking for these kind of things to happen, but I don't pray to never have an accident. I pray to be like him. So that if things do happen, it's the spontaneous response of my life because I've been with him. Now watch. If I'm sitting behind that airbag and I go, okay, praise God, Shabbat. Pastor Dave talked about love. Pastor Dan was in town. Okay, I represent Christ. I'm a Christian. I gotta be okay. Hey, everybody. That'll be weird. If you have to apply the word after it happens, you're late. If the word becomes flesh and it happens, you're right on time. Watch the scripture. He that hears and does, meaning hears and becomes and applies, Matthew 7, is likened to a wise man. And when the storm comes, did you hear? He hears and he has the time frame of grace to become. Yeah. But the storm is coming even to the wise. You know what we do in the church? Why is this happening? Why is God allowing this? What door did I open? Why is the devil doing? What am I doing wrong? The storm comes to the wise and foolish, church. We should be teaching that. This isn't about a storm-free life. It's about Christ in you, the hope of glory. He that hears and does is likened to a wise man. And when the rains descend and the winds blow, and it beats upon the house. It's not there to destroy you. It's there to destroy what's being built. It's coming for the word's sake, not your sake. Satan could care less about you. He cares about the word and he knows your potential in that word. He's coming to destroy what's being built. And the wind beats upon that house and the rains pound upon it and it doesn't budge. Why? Because you've become. But he that hears and doesn't do is likened to a foolish man. And the same storm is coming. And the house is shattered and great is that man's fall. Because he built his house in the sand. Come on, it's all through your Bible, this kind of stuff. It's why we're Christians, guys. To infuse the fragrance of his knowledge in every place. Watch this. For we, verse 15, because you just diffused the fragrance of his knowledge every place. Look who we are to God. For we are to God the fragrance of Christ. To those who believe and don't believe, we are the smell of him. To God, we're the hope of his son revealed. To God, we're the fragrance of Christ. Let's not miss this. It's the greatest opportunity of our lives. To let go of our issues, our disgruntlements, the unfairness, the weakness around us. And let the one so strong in us prevail. To go to bed every night thankful that you're alive and wake up every day understanding why. That's your simple place. I'll talk about it a lot tonight. Go to bed every night thankful you're alive, thankful for his faithfulness. Wake up every day understanding why. Know that mercy woke you up another day to have another day to look like your father. Not to your dreams to come true and not to find the right spouse and not to make money. Those things are fun when you're walking in purpose. If you're not walking in purpose, those things become your lifeline and you'll live in survival and you'll try to live from moment to moment. And you have highlight clips in your life and highs and lows. No, I want him. Are you guys with me tonight or today? It'll be tonight soon. I got to let you go because we're supposed to be coming back at 6 if you guys dare even show up. We're going to baptize some folks. Why don't you do this quickly, and then tonight we'll just preach some more and pray for some folks. Would you stand to your feet with me, please? Just humbly stand to your feet. You don't have to lift your hands if you don't want to. If you understand what that means, take liberty. Lift your hands to him as a sign of yielding, a sign of surrender. I'll tell you what, this will be fun. Lift your hands as if to say, you know what, God, I'm positioning myself as clay. You saved me by grace. All I'm saying is, when I lift my hands, is I want to live this way. I'm saying yes to your love, yes to your nature, yes to your way. I don't want the way that seems right to man to be my wisdom. I don't want to be fashioned by false teaching called life and the spirit of the world and the way it's been. I want you, the true life, to be the one that instructs me and reveals the truth through me. God, I yield myself to you right now. Father, I ask for grace all through this room. I ask that you bring a healing to the hearts of men. I thank you that you bring a wisdom, God, right now that causes things to make sense and erase some of the stumbling questions. I'm asking you, God, to fix our hearts on strong purpose, fix our hearts on straight truth. I'm asking you, Lord, to take away any distraction in this room. I ask that not one yell but could stand, God. I ask that what one flesh justification would even have a voice in the conscience of one person. I'm asking you to so expose the lie with the power of this truth that we are changed because of this moment. God, come and do a good thing in all of us. God, have your way and reveal the glory of your Son to us and reveal the glory of your Son through us. And let our lives have impact and let the sphere of our influence be touched greatly by who you are. Let that sphere be multiplied and let your glory truly cover the earth. God, we're not praying for some mystical revival. You are reviving us and stirring us on the inside, and you're letting our life be an outpouring. And we just thank you that that's a lot of water, God. If you multiply that outpouring by as many standing here, that's a lot of water, God. So let it come and bring refreshing to dryness. You said you'll fill those who are thirsty and flood the dry grounds. We want you, Lord. We don't just want your blessing. We want your heart. Let two become one. In Jesus' name.